Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank You for the blessings that You've bestowed upon us, for all that You've given us and all that You've done for us. And Father, I ask now as we go into the Word today, Father, that You touch my heart, that You touch my life in the name of Jesus, that the words that go forth would touch hearts and lives, Father, and Father, that lives would be changed, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The message today is probably one of the more difficult ones I've worked on, and I say work, I have studied and worked and worked and worked, and it's all up to God. It's all up to the Holy Spirit to anoint me today to bring the Word as He would have me to say it. Because today's message deals with the day that we are living in. You know, we've talked a lot, and we hear messages not only here on this program, but other sources as well, about events that are taking place in the last days and what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Well, it's good to be aware of what's going to happen during the tribulation period so that we can warn others who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because maybe, if they end up in that tribulation period, that word will become fruitful in their life, and they will realize what the situation is and turn to God, even though it's during that tumultuous time. We also need to know what's going on in our daily lives. I've mentioned probably over the years, and I've done radio for over 20 years and some other video projects and stuff, and we've been doing this for I'm not quite sure how many years that we've been putting this on the air, probably at least 8 years. And I've warned people about the events that are to come and the events that we're having. But one of the things that we need to know is what we are living in right now. Right now. And what the Word of God shares with us sometimes has twofold meaning. Sometimes it applies to the day that the writer of that particular book of the Bible, the one that the Holy Spirit inspired to write down the words, events that were taking place in and around their time, but also applies to events that are taking place in our time, the last days. It's not the end of the world, folks. A politician here in the United States just recently said the world was going to end in 12 years, so we've got to do this and we've got to do that. Well, what's the big hurry to do this or do that? Because if it's going to all just end, then let's just live life as it is. But no, it's not going to end. There's something beyond the change of the dispensation. The church age is coming to an end. The tribulation period is going to happen. And then is going to come the millennial reign of Jesus Christ here on earth. After that, there's a period that the Bible doesn't really talk about what's going to happen. But I know that during that time, those who were born during the millennial reign period will have their opportunity to give their life to Jesus Christ. And then after that event, it says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to renovate the place. We know those things are going to happen from what God's Word says. And some of you may say, well, listen, preacher, that's just a bunch of fiction that somebody ate something for dinner and it upset their stomach and caused them to have a bad dream. Well, you can believe it that way or not, but it's coming to pass. All the other things that we've talked about have come to pass up to some of the events that are taking place right now, and they will come to pass as well. The Apostle Paul who wrote a good portion of the books that are in the New Testament, wrote to a man named Timothy. He considered Timothy his son in the Lord. And he wrote in 2 Timothy, which was written around 65 to 67 A.D. And so really only about 30 years after the day of Pentecost, 30 to 37 years maybe. And what he writes here in 2 Timothy contained probably the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy. And in chapter 3 of the book of 2 Timothy, Paul speaks of the apostasy and the social corruption that is going on right then and is to come. And as I was preparing this message, I printed out several verses from chapter 3 in four different translations. I want to read to you first from the King James translation. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And I want to stop right there for a minute. That's the first three verses as read from the King James. Boy, doesn't that sound like some of the things that are going on, especially here in America. You know, I can't speak for what's going on in some of the other countries, and some that listen to us in other countries, that you know that probably some of this same thing is going on there. Things aren't like they used to be. I want to read it to you in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, which says, "But know this, difficult times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good." And then over in the New Living Translation, the second edition, it says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money." And I look around and I see what's going on here in America today, and that describes it. It's me. It's all for me. Only think of me and what you can do for me. Listen to some of the politicians, and they tell you what you need to sacrifice, but yet they're not willing to sacrifice one iota of it. It says, "Then they will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred." And I know here in America that's the case today. Nothing is sacred. And everything offends everybody, especially if it's something that has to do with Christianity. "They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good." Boy, doesn't that describe the world we live in today? One last version here I want to read this from. The Tree of Life version, a new version that came out just about 2 years ago, very similar to the New Living Translation. "But understand this, that in the last days hard times will come. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, hard-hearted, unforgiving, backbiting, without self-control, brutal, hating what is good." Think about it. Doesn't that describe the world that we live in today? Just the other day we were watching on television as convoys of aid were trying to reach the country of Venezuela, being turned back and held off at the border by the forces sent out by the president of the country. You talk about hard-hearted, sitting there in his palace watching other people starve to death, watching people die in the hospital because they could not get the medical treatment they needed, watching babies just born being put in cardboard boxes because there was no beds for them, hard-hearted, thinking only of himself. It's not just in America, folks, it's in other parts of the world as well. And if you haven't seen this going on where you're at, I can guarantee you, my friend, you will. It's coming. It's coming. We're living in a day when we have, and I want to stop right there. I want to read verse 4. I'm going to read it from the King James first. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The Tree of Life version says, verse 4, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to an outward form of godliness, but denying its power. New Living Translation says in verse 5, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. He's warning us, stay away from those people. And we have those that have that form of godliness. We have others that have everything but a form of godliness. We have those that are outright anti-God, anti-Christian. And then we have those that pretend to be. Oh, look at me, I'm so holy. Listen to every word that drips from my mouth because I'm so holy. And yet, it's corruption. It's deceit. It's everything but holy that's in their spirit. Just recently, in fact, just this week, the United Methodist Church here in America and throughout the world took a vote whether they were going to recognize gay marriage, whether they were going to recognize lesbian, homosexual ministers, whether they were going to stand up and say the Word of God doesn't mean anything, it doesn't matter what the Word of God says, we're going to do it anyway. And my understanding was that if the church vote had only been those here in America, they would have voted for these things to go into place. But the church from outside America came in and said, no, we can't have these things. It's against the Word of God. The church is not even willing to stand up for what the Bible and the Word of God has to say today. And it's pretty bad when the church can't stand up for what God has to say. Went to a Bible study, the church we attend last night. Interestingly enough, he spoke about Joshua and the children of Jericho, or the children of Israel as they came up against Jericho. And although his message and his teaching last night was different than what we taught just a week ago here on this program, it struck a chord there with me. Because God had given them directions. He had said, if you do this, you'll win the battle. And as we learned from last week's message, they went in, they did what God said, they won the battle. But then they go on to another place called Ai. They're told to follow instructions, except they go in and guess what? Someone doesn't follow instructions. And they end up suffering defeat because they didn't follow what God's word to them was. Now, it wasn't the written word like we have today. It was the word that he gave to Joshua, and Joshua passed it on down to those who were in command and those who were actually out there in the field. Well, today we have the Bible, God's written word. But we look at it and we say, well, I don't care what God said, I'm going to do it my way. I remember back many years ago people talking about, well, I don't care what you have to say, I'll do it my way. I'll do what I want to do. After all, I know what's best for me. Well, we're basically doing the same with God today, saying, and this is people in the church saying, I don't care what God's word has to say. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live how I want to live. My friend, you're in for a rude awakening if you're not following God's word. You know, sometimes it hurts a little bit to follow God's word. Sometimes it steps on our toes. Sometimes it makes us feel uncomfortable. But it's still God's word, and it's still God's instructions to us. And we need to follow it. We'd better follow it. Because you go back and you read the scripture and you find out everywhere they disobeyed God, something happened. And it generally wasn't something pleasant. He didn't send them flowers and say, I'm sorry. No. And if you're expecting God to kowtow to your wishes and what you want and your demands, it ain't going to happen, friend. God's word is God's word. The part about these scriptures that struck me, everything I've read so far, we're seeing take place in America and in other parts of the world. People are doing these things. In America, having a form of godliness is becoming a big thing. We can go to church on Sunday and we can sing, whether it be the hymns or some of the more contemporary music that's come into the church today. Walk in the front door, everybody think we're the best Christian that ever walked the face of the planet. Walk back out, get in our car, and a short time later, we're everything but what we pretended to be in church. I know I've mentioned it before in various messages, and probably somewhere in my files I still have the drawing, but Mel Young, who used to be associated with us, and the Something I Can Feel broadcast that was on for a number of years, we put out a publication that was on a quarterly basis, and he drew a cartoon for that publication. And one particular time he drew a cartoon of the family at home, mom, dad, children, bickering. They're in the car, they're on the way to church, bickering. They're in church, lifting up their hands, singing the songs of praise. Joe Christian, Mrs. Joe Christian, baby Joe Christian. Everybody thinks they're a saint. You can almost see the halo above their head. Church is over, they get back in the car. And they're back to the bickering and fighting. And there's so much of that goes on today. Church has become the feel-good place where we can go and we can feel good and have our egos massaged. But when we go back out of there, we're just the same person we were when we went in. And God's not with us. We need to not just have a form of godliness. We need to have the power. We need to have the radiance of God shining forth from us. We are the tabernacle of God here on earth. The Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts and our lives. And we become His voice. That's what we are supposed to be as Christians. And as the old song said, if Jesus said it, I believe it. God's word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. We need to hold on to that today. I want to go on with a couple of these other verses here. And I know that somebody's going to take offense if this next verse, next couple of verses here, there's something in there that probably somebody will say, well, why is that in the Bible? Well, let's read it. 5. Holding on to an outward form of godliness, I'm reading from the Tree of Life version, but denying its power, avoid these people. Verse 6, for among these are those who slip into households and deceive weak women, weighted down with sin, led away by various desires, always learning yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I know somebody's going to take offense to where it says weak women. King James Version says, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. The Holloman Christian Standard says, avoid, for among them are those who worm their way into households and capture idle women burdened out with sins, led away by a variety of passions. I want you to think about it. I don't know why it specifically mentions women here, and don't ask me why, because I don't know. It specifically points out women here. But I think in these last days we've seen women come into a prominence, especially in America, that they've never had in the world. You go into other countries and typically women do not have the freedoms, the liberties that they have here in America. And I'm thankful that they're treated more equal here in America. But some of them have let it go to their head. And they're going off with goofy ideas. And I could name some names and mention some things that are going on right now, but I'm not going to. Probably some of the things it's talking about right here. I don't know. But anyway, there are a lot of silly women out there. But along with it, just for the record, there's a lot of silly men out there too. A lot of idle men, a lot of men who are not paying attention to what the Word of God has to say. We need, as Christians especially, to get our lives together. Have that power back in our lives. I talk with people who are in my age group who remember back just 50, 60 years ago. I was blessed in the fact that I got to grow up during a great move of God here in the United States of America. A time when the power of God was being made manifest. Lives were being changed. We were sending missionaries out to the world to win them to Jesus Christ. And today, some of those countries that we send missionaries to are sending missionaries back to America because America has become a vast mission field. We need the power, the anointing, the Word of God. The church in America today is the church that he's speaking of right here in verse 5 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Or as one of the other versions says, holding to an outward form of godliness, but denying its power. Or they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And the rest of that verse comes with a warning. Stay away from these people. Stay away. If the power of God is not moving, is off, if all you're getting in church is some self-improvement sermon, how do you improve yourself? How do you do this? And none of it has to do with the power of God and God working in your life and what God can do for us. If we'll let Him. And not only what God can do for us, but what we can do for God. Because we can work for God. We are His voice. We are His body here on earth right now. And we need to be about His business. Just as Jesus said, I need to be about my Father's business. We as the church today need to be about our Father's business. But instead, we're more about how can I become more wealthy? I turn on Christian television sometimes and change the channel then because all it is how you can get rich being a Christian. Now, I have to tell you, I don't read about any of the apostles, any of the men of God that were in the Bible preaching a sermon on how to get rich, and I don't remember any of them being rich. I'm sure there were some Christians in the early church that were wealthy. But that's not the message they preached, how to be wealthy. Today it's become a false gospel of wealth instead of what God has done for you, how He offered His Son, Jesus, as the sacrifice for our sin so that we could be saved and so that we could spend eternity in the presence of God instead of spending eternity with the devil and his angels. And He left the choice up to us. What do you want to do today? Do you want to just have that form of godliness and pretend that you're something you're not? Or do you want to have Jesus in your heart? Have a pastor friend. Was raised in a pastor's home. But he led a double life as a young man, as a teenager. Played in a Christian band, performed Christian music on the weekends. Other times, he played in a regular rock band, did the same things the world did. Of course, now today, he's serving God. He's out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, winning souls to the Lord. But there's a lot of people out there that are doing today like what he was doing then, leading that double life. And today, if this message has touched your heart and you say, God, I need forgiveness, I want you to pray right now. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for the sins I have committed against you. Cleanse me. Help me to be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit in my life. And that I would be obedient to do what He has called me to do. Father, I yield to the Holy Spirit today. And maybe you're listening. And maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Now's the time. Jesus, come into my heart. I accept the sacrifice that you paid on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of my sin. And now, let that blood that was shed cleanse my sins and make me a child of God. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.